Hello and welcome to Called to Serve. My name is Kathy Behrens. I'm the Communications Director for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany. And my guest today is Father Dan Quinn, who is the pastor at a number of parishes in Albany, Mater Christi, Blessed Sacrament,
All Saints, and the Shrine Church of Our Lady of the Americas, where we have Mass in Spanish.
There you go. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We are talking today. We're looking ahead to Lent. I know we just sort of got out of the Advent Christmas season, and we're looking ahead to Lent, specifically Holy Week and Holy Thursday. Last year, you organized a Holy Thursday pilgrimage with a bunch of the churches in the Beverwick Vicariate,
which is here in the city of Albany. Yeah.
The Diocesan Communications Office wants to sort of make the tools available to everyone across the diocese so that more people can get involved, because it was well received.
Yes, it was. I was surprised at how well received it was, actually, because this tradition on Holy Thursday is that people would go and visit a number of churches in the evening after the Holy Thursday celebration, you know, which symbolizes the last, commemorates the Last Supper. When we were doing the research on it, you know, why do people go and visit seven churches on Holy Thursday evening? Partly it's to see who's got the best decorations for the little place of repose. You know, you can see, oh, they did it nice, and oh, that's a great idea, I'll steal that from my church next year. And, you know, so part of it is maybe a little bit of one-upmanship, but you also get to visit, you know, these seven churches. But it goes all the way back to the time of Philip Neri in the 1500s in Rome, who organized it such that you could do a little pilgrimage in a city where there's a church in every other street corner. You can go and visit seven churches and trace the footsteps of Jesus after the Last Supper. So you've finished Holy Thursday Mass and the Last Supper. And then what happens next? Well, they go from there to the Garden of Gethsemane. So what we did, we put a little list together, a little passport together, and we have the scripture passages for each of the places Jesus goes. So first he goes from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples, and they sing a hymn along their way. And then they go from there to, he's arrested, and they go to Annas' house. And then they go to Caiaphas's house, and then they go to Pilate at the Praetorium, and then he's sent by Pilate to Herod Antipas's palace, and then he's got to go back to Pilate, and then he's condemned and he's sent from Pilate to the place of the skull, to Golgotha, to the site of the crucifixion. So Philip Neri had organized this so that, you know, you could make a little walking pilgrimage on Holy Thursday evening and go from church to church to church. And so what we did was we put together a little sheet, a little passport, and made sure that the churches were going to be open in the evening around the city here in Albany, so that people could follow in those footsteps. And you go to each place, you read the scripture for that location, you know, what's happening next, the next part of the story. You've put your feet into it. You've put the you know, maybe the distance from one church to the next, in the same sort of traveling that Jesus and whoever he's with at that point, whether it's his disciples or the soldiers, had to do to get to the next spot. And then at the end of those seven places, you've arrived at, you know, what's happening in the middle of Good Friday at the crucifixion. So
did everybody walk from church to church? Because you had Christ the King was
in
this too.
Oh yeah, no. I think people mostly drove.
Right.
But just the effort of making the pilgrimage.
Right.
Of going from place to place. Yeah, we did make sure that all the churches, and we did on the back of our little passport, we listed all the churches and who was open until when. So, you know, some places were only open until 8:30, but Christ the King, you know, they were open until 11. Blessed Sacrament was open until 10. Mater Christi was open until 10. We were having night prayer at a predetermined time at 10 p.m. So, you know, actually you could be open until 10:30. So you knew that you could make it to seven of them. And then when you got to each place, what you could do with this little passport was you could stamp it. So I love the idea of a passport. And I know it's kind of cool to collect the stamps. When I had walked the pilgrimage in Rome, and the Camino de Santiago, one of the fun things to do was to ask, oh, ¿tienes un sello? To ask, do you have a stamp that I can put in my little passport? And I actually brought it here with me, because they became their own little works of art. So see, there's a each place you went, each hostel you stayed at, each restaurant you went to, the museums, the churches, everywhere you went, they had their own little stamp. And they would stamp your passport, and then it became a mark of, you know, where you had been so far.
Well, it's also kind of like a prayer journal, too.
It is, yeah, yeah. And other places have taken this. Like, anyone who visits the national parks here in the United States, you know, you can get a passport book, and you can go visit national parks, and each place you go, they'll put a little stamp. And I haven't done this. I don't actually go to many national parks. We don't have any around here because we have the state parks.
You did the same for the Eucharistic Congress a couple of years ago.
We did. Oh, I have that one too. Look, here's the passport from the Eucharistic Congress. And so the churches along the route had.
I think mine was.
I know nobody at home can see these.
St. Margaret of Cortona was on there.
Oh, yeah. There's St. Margaret. Yeah. There's St. Margaret of Cortona, your parish.
I think they gave you guys lunch.
They fed us an excellent lunch.
Yeah. They're good with hospitality.
They are good with hospitality. I hate to say that they were only outdone by St. Anthony's in Schenectady.
Ah.
Because Sister Rosa there is amazing. But in any case, we had designed some stamps for each of the churches along the way. And one place did a sticker instead of a stamp, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. So along the way, you knew where you had gone. You got you stamped your little passport along the way between where you started and where you were ending. So even, the libraries here in Albany had done something similar a couple of years ago. They did a little, and I have the passport from that. You got a stamp from each library that you went to. And a couple, and then last year on Ted's Fish Fry's anniversary, they did a little passport, and you visited all six of their restaurants. You got a little stamp for each of their restaurants, and you got to.
Did you go there too?
I did, yeah. Yeah, if Ted's Fish Fry is interested in sponsoring this episode, you could call him up.
But might not be as much a prayer journal as the others.
No. But like walking the Camino in Spain or another religious pilgrimage, definitely you are, it's kind of a prayer journal. And with our little passport, we it's just got, you know, the list of the churches, the passage from the scripture, and then an encouragement at each place to pray an Our Father, pray a Hail Mary, take a few minutes in quiet prayer. Enjoy the quiet of each church's room. Meditate upon, you know, upon the stop that you're in. You might be arriving at a church and somebody's on their third church, and so they're meditating upon, let's see here, on Jesus at the house of Caiaphas, and you're on your fifth church, and so you're meditating on Jesus being at Herod's place. You know, so depending on where you go and who you see, you know. In the past, I always knew that there were people doing this in the previous years because people would stop in and I knew they were doing the seven churches thing. And you know, it was a smattering of people. Last year when we encouraged this, last Lent, so many more people were doing this. And then you got to see people in different places that you'd seen at other churches. Like, oh, where are you going next? Well, I'm going over to St. Thomas and I just came from the Shrine of Our Lady of the Americas. It was kind of cool. It was a little bit of a community building thing too, but you're also trying to, like, you know, make it a meditative moment.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a prayer journal. You're trying to do this pilgrimage that, even if it just takes, you know, a couple hours and a half a tank of gas to drive around all these churches to really set this Holy Thursday aside as, because it isn't an obligation or anything. The Holy Thursday isn't a holy day of obligation, but this is just an encouragement. And I know it's a little bit of a gamification of this whole thing. Oh, collect the stamps and
but you know,
see the
why
churches.
Can't our faith be fun?
Yeah, okay, exactly, exactly.
You know, and,
yeah.
And I'm looking at it this way too. You said it, community building. And I think that we have to realize, you know, and I say this all the time. When I started here as communications director, people would stop me and say, we'll see you when the bad stuff happens. There is so much good going on in our diocese, and we need to focus on it and celebrate with each other. We are a community of faith, and this is such a beautiful way. I know when I was involved in the teen program years ago in Latham, we used to do this on Holy Thursday. We would have the Holy Thursday Mass. It was St. Ambrose, and then we would go to some of the other churches like St. Pius or Our Lady of Assumption and in Latham, and there were different churches that took part in this, and it was special. It was just a nice prayerful time, and it meant something to the teens that were with us too. Mm-hmm. And we ran into other people, and you get to know people at other churches, you get familiar with other churches, maybe other pastors instead of just your own little church community. Mm-hmm. We are a bigger church than just your parish.
Right, yeah. And what's cool is you do get to see people, you do get to see the other churches. And if you are unable to go all around, well, maybe you just stay at your own church and you get all these visitors from different places,
right?
and they all come to you. You know, there might be any number of reasons why you can't go around yourself. But if you stay there and you're the one stamping people's passports when they come in,
right,
if you've helped decorate your own church for Holy Thursday, and then maybe you're going to help, you're planning on helping decorate for Easter Sunday, if you've helped set aside the place of repose, as the documents say about like what happens on Holy Thursday night, then you get to be a host. You get to be hosting people, and you can do, you know, if you just need to stay in one place and do those seven meditations yourself there in between, you know, helping somebody out with their passports, or maybe you're sticking around for night prayer. These are all, there's even a possibility, even if you can't go someplace else, you can be receptive and be a good, gracious host for those who are coming by, and you still get to see the universality. It's kind of nice that it works both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's give people tools that they can use. If anyone's listening to this, we want to make this is where I want to try to help the diocesan website be a resource for
sure.
People. So we have our Lent page that we open up every year, and we're going to be presenting that again this year. I'd like to include a page for this pilgrimage on it, where people can get the tools they might need if they want to do this within their own little church communities. So you have a passport, and you have it in PDF form,
yeah,
which you're going to send to me?
Yes, we're gonna post the passport in a PDF. It sort of accordion folds so that you can fold it up after you printed it out. I think it's going to be formatted so that there's two on each page, and you can just print it off on paper and then cut it in half, and then you've got two passports.
Excellent. And what size paper do you?
I think we printed off an 8.5 by 14.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it's a little longer.
It's a little longer than usual, yeah. And then it folds up like a little accordion, and there's a place on each page for the scripture, for a place to put a stamp, a little 1.5 by 1.5 square that, you know, each stamp or sticker that you might find at each place. And then we left some space with lines so you can fill in your own reflections if something came to you and you wanted to like make a little note about, you know, as your little prayer journal aspect of it. So there's a portion of it for that as well. And then on the back, there's a map of Jerusalem. So you can see where all seven of these places are, where they're starting at the Last Supper to where they go over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then each of those locations is numbered so that you can, so that as you are going between seven different churches here, you can sort of visualize the different places that Jesus is having to go to and the travel involved, mostly here with soldiers who are dragging him around to these different places with the different leaders, and trying to clarify exactly what he's guilty of and who's responsible for things, and ultimately, why is he crucified? Because between Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate and Annas and Judas himself, there's a lot of power dynamics at play in what happens this evening and everything building up to this evening and to this ultimately on Good Friday.
And the scripture passages are already on the page.
The scripture passages are already included in here, so they'll be right in your pocket as you go from place to place with its citations. If you need it in a different language or something, you can, you know, the citations are there, so you can look it up in Spanish or Polish or whatever other language you like. So
as far as the toolkit, you've got the passport, and we'll provide that on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're going to provide a list of the churches. Well, I'll provide a list of the churches here in Albany that I know are going to be open. I don't know about the entire diocese, which churches are open super late, but I'm sure if maybe parishes would like to provide the information, sign up to let them know, we could include it on a list somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you do your Albany, if any other parish leaders are listening and they decide they want to organize something in their area, send the information into my office at communications@rcda.org, and we can create a running list so that people could find spots throughout the diocese.
I do apologize to some degree, because I know this is a lot easier to do in a city. Like Philip Neri is developing this devotion, this little pilgrimage in the city of Rome, where there's lots of churches, you can kind of do this rather easily. Maybe in a city like Albany or in Schenectady or Troy, you can kind of find seven churches that are pretty nearby to do it. It might be a little bit harder.
Well,
if you're in Herkimer, if you're in Coxsackie, if you're in If you're in Hancock, it could be a little bit harder to find seven churches to get to conveniently over the course of a night. But it doesn't mean that you still can't do the devotion in some way.
Yeah, or to find maybe seven different locations, maybe not seven churches, but seven pertinent locations. Maybe you repeat a few, but you still pilgrimage to some extent. I don't know. People can think out of the box.
And people can think out of the box. And if you want to put a little group together and you're just going to go to each of your seven houses, pick seven families and go to seven houses, you could do it like that too. The same thing happens when we have Las Posadas and in our Spanish-speaking community before Christmas, as we follow the little pilgrimage of the Holy Family of Jesus and Joseph, of Mary and Joseph, with Jesus is still inside, looking for a place to go, and the innkeepers are not very accommodating or unable to accommodate until they find somebody who's got like a barn, you know. So they do that. They find seven houses, or they find seven, eight houses, and to host over the course of a week, and they
pray,
and then they go from house to house for their prayers. It's maybe that's the sort of thing that people would like to do. I don't know.
It's community building.
It is. It's community building.
So the other tool they would need is a stamp or stickers or something to put on the passport.
Yeah, I suppose you can go to a craft store and find a stamp. But you know what we did? We found there was a website that would make stamps for us, and you just provided the design, and the stamp came in the mail a couple days later.
So you
and
could
it was
send
like
the
20
logo
bucks.
Of your church, or
the logo of the church, or a picture of the church. Like, well, I was showing you the one from St. Margaret of Cortona. We just found an image of her that worked really well as a two-tone stamp, and it came in the mail, and we picked a color, found an ink pad that we liked, and used that as a stamp. So,
nice.
But again, people made stickers. You can print off a sheet of stickers and just stick them on. So those are kind of all the tools you'll need. The passport with the scriptures and the map of Jerusalem, a stamp at each place, the list of places to go, and to lean into the gamification of it, I suppose, if you wanted to provide an incentive to people to get to like seven churches, maybe, you know, if you came on Sunday morning with your little completed stamp passport booklet, maybe you can get a prize. I don't know.
Have Kindness Matters
candy.
Car magnets,
well, there we
wristbands,
go.
And buttons in my office. So those are available if people want those as prizes.
Yeah. And I know it's very much an encouragement, and we shouldn't be working, of course, for the chocolate bar at the end of it. But it's an encouragement, especially if you need to bring your kids each place. Because I do think it was kind of gamifying. It makes it a little bit more fun for the little ones.
Yeah.
And if you go in this passport, we provided a whole extra page. If you get to more than seven churches, then you can stamp. There's space to keep
credit.
On going if you want to keep on going. There's no more scriptures at that point, but you know you can keep on visiting if you want to see the places of repose.
Have you gotten any feedback from people that maybe took part last year who had a profound experience?
People loved it, especially people who had forgotten about the tradition from when they were kids. If they grew up here in the city of Albany and they have a memory of going to, especially a lot of these closed parishes, like, Holy Cross and St. Anthony's downtown. We went to St. Anne's and St. John's and the Cathedral and St. Mary's, and you visited all these churches, Our Lady Help. You know, many of these are closed now. It's, you know, the Cathedral and St. Mary's are what's left down there. But people had the memory of going to the seven churches, and they thought, that was so cool that this year I could share this with my grandkids. I had forgotten that we had even done it. So I had some really great feedback. And I wasn't expecting that. I actually wasn't even expecting people to want to do this, but they did. And the ones who stayed put had just as much fun as the ones who did the traveling. So the ones who were hosts at the parishes were just as much fun as the ones who traveled around to the different parishes. So.
Did anybody come that you were aware of who maybe had never heard of this before and experienced for the first time?
Yeah, when we were encouraging it last year during Lent before we got to Holy Thursday, there were people who thought, I've never heard of this. I said, yeah, well, it's kind of a city tradition. We have to have enough churches around to be able to do it.
What did it mean for you as a priest?
I went and traveled around last year to seven churches myself just to see how people were experiencing it. I kind of wanted to see how the different churches hosted it and whether they were doing night prayer at different points or if they had any other thing that they were providing. One, I think Christ the King had little prayer cards to give away too. So part of me was thinking quality control, which isn't quite fair. But then once I was there at each place and actually sat down and just took a moment in peace and quiet, and maybe talked with some of the people, I was very encouraged by it because it felt like a way to put their faith into action, and that had a purpose to it. It wasn't just go visit seven churches. It was, they had had all the, in the little passport in front of them, they had all the context for it. They had the map of the place. They had, and it just sort of brought some reality to it. Again, it put your hands and feet into it. You're not just listening to the scriptures. You're going to, okay, I'm going to go, you know, we traveled and we walked in and we knelt and we stood and we walked to the next place and tried to imagine how this was for Jesus, for the other disciples who were having their own little journeys during the same time running away. Yeah. But we're going to stick and follow Jesus. We don't really have to follow where did Peter go next and the fire and the rooster crowing and all these other things that, you know, we don't need to follow him so much. What we need to do is stick with Jesus and see where Jesus is going.
And then imagine all that he was feeling and dealing with as he's going. He dealt with the emotions that we deal with.
Right, because ultimately he knows he's going to death.
Right.
But he also knows he's going to something beyond that, yes. Which we and the disciples are not very sure of yet. But we, you know, here we are 20 centuries later, we do know that he's going to something beyond death. And Easter Sunday is coming, and we have that new life coming after that. But right now, we need to stick with I'm being dragged around by soldiers to all these places. Mm-hmm. And I hope little children don't think they're just being dragged around by their parents to all these different places.
There is great
opportunity. It's hard to contextualize it. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's great opportunity, I think, to bring the scriptures to life.
Yeah.
In something like this, if people have the right mindset as they're going through it. And I know it could be a lot to get too intense with little ones.
Right.
But
right.
Still the idea that, you know, it was not an easy time. And Jesus did it because he loved us. And it's just, like I said, it's a great opportunity for us to come together as a community in Christ to celebrate what is a significant point in our church year.
Especially because oftentimes on Good Friday, we might have like a Living Stations of the Cross being played out. Mm-hmm. I know different parishes like to do this,
mm-hmm.
which it sort of dramatizes it, you know?
Right.
And, you know, to go from a Holy Thursday night and then maybe to go to a Living Stations of the Cross, or maybe just a simple Stations of the Cross, where you just walk around the church going from picture to picture, image to image. It dramatizes it in some way. It gives it the time and weight and our attention, the attention that it deserves from us. Not simply to, okay, I got through it, I read the passage and I'm done. I did my Bible reading for the day. Well, no, let's spend time with this. Let's see what it actually is like to walk around. Let's see what it's actually like to shout as part of the crowd, crucify him, like we do on Good Friday and on Palm Sunday. These are sometimes hard words to say when you're realizing, oh, I'm on the bad guy side in this. Oh,
yeah.
I'm on the enemy side in this.
I always hate that part of it.
There's a reason why the whole church is asked to, like, okay, you're the crowd.
Yeah.
Say these words. Oh, yeah. That hurts to say.
Yeah,
that,
it does. It does.
But that's also the kind of the point of dramatizing it, of, I suppose, theater at all. You get to play the different parts.
Yeah.
You get to be you get to be Romeo and you get to be Iago. You get to be Lady Macbeth. You also get to be Hamlet. You know, like you get to play the good and the bad, and it's a little bit of a practical psychology. Okay, why do the people say the things that they say and do the things that they do? And why do I do this, say the things that I say and do the things that I do? And why has Jesus decided to do this for me, for us, for all of us? Why has part of the, I think it's part of the reason we take the time to dramatize things or spend time, significant time with things, even put a little pilgrimage to it. I mean, it's a stupid idea to walk all the way across Spain to go to visit a place I could have just flown to, gotten a taxi from the airport to the church. Well, you know what? This is the pilgrimage. It doesn't quite make a ton of sense until you're doing it. And you're in the midst of it and you go, yeah, I'm glad I spent the time and the effort to do this whole thing and not just give it lip service or do the short, quick version.
The journey's the goal and not the destination.
And that is the truth, isn't it?
We are out of time.
Okay.
So just for anyone listening who's interested in learning more, we will make this the tools available on the diocesan website. We may put them up before Lent begins. So just watch the website and I will communicate with parish leaders. I send out a newsletter every month and I'll put the information in that. But thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for organizing this. It's just a great way to dive deeper into our faith.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your time, and I thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another edition of Called to Serve. Have a blessed day.